Dear friends, we're gathering to share in this time of loss and mourning with the Saville family in the passing of Meg Saville. We come together to support one another. We come together to celebrate the faith that Meg had and the family is committed to remind ourselves of the love that is held in family and in a broader family, in the community of faith, and to search out in the scriptures the instruction and the guidance that has come to us, that we've learned over the years, and that it is so important and so powerful in a time when a loved one passes on, and our focus in another way adds another layer of looking forward to that day when we are all reunited. So on behalf of the Saville family, we express our appreciation that you're here today. Your support and your encouragement is very important. And may God bless you, forgiving of yourselves in being here on this occasion at this time. I'm going to read a selection of scripture verses that remind us of the truths of our faith, of the reality of Jesus Christ and our risen and ascended Savior who is with us in his spirit in this time together. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. Whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, and that we can settle our faith and be reminded of the truth that you have shared with us, that you've revealed to us in your holy word. And thank you, Lord, that this life is not all there is, but it's a very important part. It's a huge part of our existence, and yet there's life beyond this. And our scriptures this morning have already reminded us that your love is eternal, that your love is secure, that we put ourselves in your love and nothing can separate us from that. And so we thank you that at this time your presence, your love, your strength will surround the Saville family. We lift them up to you, Lord, and pray that as we come to this funeral service, that it will be a time of an appropriate and well-done farewell to Meg, that in who she is, and we'll learn more about that today. Yeah, we will celebrate the life well lived. And Lord, it will give us strength as we move forward. And so for everyone who takes part, for every person that is here, and for the family in particular, we look to you for your shepherding strength to guide us in this day and in the days to come. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Barry Klink will lead our singing today.
The words will be on the screen in front of you. If you want to get your hymn book and follow along, and you can do that as well. We're going to be singing in the garden, and one of Meg's favorite spots was in the garden, wasn't it? She loved her flowers and plants, and I imagine spent some quality time with her Lord there too, singing hymns and reflecting and enjoying the beauty of God's creation. Let's stand to sing.
To the garden, O Lord.
Donahue, the daughter of John and Meg, has the privilege of bringing the tribute at this time.
When I initially thought I was going to be able to speak today, I was given two words of advice, one of them from my son, which is just keep breathing, and the other from my mom, which was bring Kleenex. As you all know, my mom was the most amazing gardener. And if I were to compare her to something in the garden, I wouldn't say that she is the tall oak or the beautiful rose or even the exotic orchid. I would say that she were the roots of all of the plants. She held everything and everyone in place, and she nurtured and supported us so that we could all grow strong. My mom was the moral compass and the voice of reason for our family. She provided sustenance and support and a strong foundation for all of us. I say she was like the roots because the roots are, without a doubt, the most important part of any plant, although their hard work often goes unnoticed and unrecognized. She has always supported me in everything I've done. She's provided a solid foundation for me to grow tall and strong. And like the plants in the garden, my family and I were able to grow and be strong because we always knew that we had strong roots. My dad was able to start a church in Grenada because my mom said that the children needed a place to learn about Jesus. When the Sunday school started in their garage, my dad may have been the one leading the way, but my mom was the voice of reason. She was the angel on his shoulder and the roots for him to depend on. My mom has always supported me without pushing and never letting me settle for anything but my best. She's my therapist. She's my editor. She was my financial advisor, my career counselor, my landscape engineer, my interior decorator, and my best friend. I will miss her terribly. I'd like to read a poem. It's called The Rose Beyond the Wall. A rose once grew where all could see, sheltered beside a garden wall. And as the days passed swiftly by, it spread its branches straight and tall. One day, a beam of light shone through a crevice that had opened wide. The rose bent gently towards its warmth and then passed to the other side. Now you who deeply feel its loss, be comforted. The rose blooms there, its beauty even greater now, nurtured by God's loving care. And at this time of year, when we traditionally give gifts and receive gifts, I'd like to share a gift that I'm most grateful for and a wish that I still have. I'm most grateful for the gift of time, and I wish for the gift of strong memories. It was 5 years ago when we first found out that my mom had cancer in her eye, and I was pregnant with my daughter. And we were afraid that my mom wouldn't have a chance to even see her. We wondered if not only would she survive, but if she did, would she still have her sight? And we were greatly blessed when Haley arrived, and we were given the gift of time. A year and a half ago, we found out that the cancer was back, and we were told by the doctors that she'd only live for months. We planted daffodils together in her honor, but we were all amazed the following spring when we stood together to admire their beauty. Again, we were given the gift of time. Time is a gift that eventually runs out. We were fortunate to have been given it twice. In the 5 years that we were given, my two children, Matthew and Haley, spent countless hours with their grandma. Building memories to cherish for the rest of their lives. They made muffins and planted flowers. They raked leaves and painted pictures. They played with the dogs and they went to the park. She cheered at Matthew's soccer games and at swimming lessons. She beamed at Haley's first Christmas concert. They put up a tent in the living room and they went to church together, always having something exciting in her purse. When Matthew asked Jesus into his heart, she placed a single red rose at the front of the church. When Haley asked Jesus into her heart, she bought her a heart locket so she would always remember. A more proud grandma you'd be hard-pressed to find. She was my biggest cheerleader. She was the most honorable, selfless, loving, courageous woman I've ever known. My mom's biggest fear was that my children would not be old enough to remember her. We spent a lot of time thinking about our own childhood memories, and we tried to remember back as far as we could. The gift of time has run out, and now we ask for the gift of memories. Strong memories to hold my mom close. Memories to remind us all about how much she loved us. And memories to remember how we spent the priceless gift of time that we were given, not once, but twice. And to close, I'd like to share a wish from one of my students this year. They wrote, "I wish that good memories were like the stars, lighting our ways through the darkest hours and everlasting."
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender words I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubt and fear. Though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me.
I'd like to read two scripture passages. They're going to be on the screen for you as well. The first one comes from John 14, verses 1 to 6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have these words to us from Paul. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Meg was a very patient person. She had a wonderful personality that related to children and grandchildren. And one of her great loves was being able to minister to those who had challenges in their lives as children. And part of her ministry was to those in school. But I think her great love was spending time with grandchildren. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that death is swallowed up in victory through the death of Christ on the cross. We thank you for his promise to the disciples that he was going to prepare a place for them and he was going to come again to take them to be with him. I thank you, Father, that absent from the body for the Christian means to be present with the Lord. And so, Father, we thank you for the time that you gave, those 5 years, how precious they have become to the family. You're a gracious God. We thank you, Father, that in your timing you've taken Meg to be in your presence. You desired her presence too with you. Father, we thank you for John and Meg. We thank you that for these many 43 years, they've been a wonderful team together. And although they're independent thinkers, Father, they loved you and loved your word, loved each other, and loved to proclaim the message of Jesus. So we thank you, Father, for the many, many people that they've impacted for good and for the gospel through their lives. We thank you for the church in Grenada, and Father, the fond memories they have of John and Meg, and the impact that they had in starting that church. We pray your blessing on the church and even those who give donations that relate to helping them to be able to build the church again after hurricane issues. Father, we thank you for Lisa and her kind and insightful words about her mom. We pray for her and Nick. We thank you, Father, for the precious time that Nick was able to give every Thursday over these past months to spend time with his mom and his dad, and how precious that time was to them. So, Father, we pray for Mike and for Tracy and for Crystal and Tasha and Matthew and Haley as too, Father, that you will give them strong memories. They'll be able to remember, and those memories will be able to flood back into their minds. Those memories that you've imprinted on their hearts and their minds related to Grandma. Father, we thank you for the privilege that's ours today as a church to be together to celebrate Meg's life. We pray, Father, that you'll bless the rest of our time together. We do pray, Father, that the comfort of your Spirit will continue with John and with his family, and that he'll receive that wonderful, settled peace in his heart that only God can give. As he meets with people, we thank you, Father, for those who've become very good friends and are here to be of support. And we pray, Father, your blessing on each one here today. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Diane Matthews is going to come and sing for us again, If You Could See Me Now.
Meg could say something to all of you. I'm sure the words of this song would be the message she would send you today. I finally arrived. The healing that had been delayed has now been realized. No one's in a hurry. There's no schedule to keep. We're all enjoying Jesus, just sitting at his feet. If you could see me now, I'm walking streets of gold. If you could see me now, I'm standing tall and whole. If you could see me now, you'd know I've seen his face. If you could see me now, you'd know the pain. You wouldn't want me to ever leave this place. If you could only see me now. My light and temporary trials have worked out for my good. To know it brought him glory when I misunderstood. Though we've had our sorrows, they can never compare to what Jesus has in store for us. No language can share. If I could see you now, I'm walking streets of gold. If you could see me now, I'm standing tall and whole. If you could see me now, you'd know I've seen his face. If you could see me now, you'd know the pains he raised. If you could see me now, I'm walking streets of gold. If you could see me now, I'm standing tall and tall. You wouldn't want me to ever leave this perfect place. If you could only see me now. If you
Wow, what a powerful song that was, eh? We're going to sing together, How Great Thou Art. Could you stand with me as we sing verse 1, 3, and 4?
I see the sun.
wonderful songs. Diane, thank you so much for the messages of your songs and then the hymns. Words, thank you, Lisa, for sharing that great tribute for your mom. You know, when you meet and get acquainted with the Saville family, you soon learn that, if you haven't picked it up already, that their faith in Christ is a big deal. It's a big deal. It's central. As you read Meg's story on the back of the bulletin, if you'd spent time with her, you come to know that belief in Jesus set the priorities and the direction for everything in her life. She always cared for others. That grew out of personality, but it grew out of following the Lord Jesus Christ as well. She couldn't bear to inconvenience others. She was always putting herself last, putting others first. She even virtually apologized to the family for the difficulty of going through her decline in health with her. And that was the heart of her. Her husband, John, said that the church in Grenada wouldn't have happened without her. But she was always self-effacing about that and would always deny her strong role in it. And John felt so strongly about her steadfastness and his need to communicate that to her, just to draw her to even acknowledge it and within herself and feel good about it. He had a special ring made for her, a family ring. But on the inside, he engraved on it, "You are my hero." That's great. That was cool when I learned that. But you know what? She was embarrassed to receive it. That's just the person that she was. You know, in the scripture, there's a wonderful episode in the history of Jesus that opens up to us more about the foundation of faith that Meg built her life on and that has been such a priority in the family. Jesus, in his time on earth, was friends with a man by the name of Lazarus and Lazarus's two sisters, Martha and Mary. At a particular time when Jesus was at some distance away from their home in Bethany, which was just outside of Jerusalem, Lazarus became very ill. So the sisters, who are getting to know Jesus and developing a friendship with him, sent for Jesus. They sent a message to him by a courier. By the time Jesus got to the home, Lazarus, in fact, had been in the tomb. He had died. He had been in the tomb for 4 days, probably 5 days since he died then. And as Jesus is coming to the home, of course, word spread ahead of time. Jesus was gaining fame within the populace of Israel at the time. Word always managed to go faster than Jesus did, and people would come out to meet him. Word got to Mary and Martha that Jesus was approaching and coming to see them soon. So Martha goes out to meet him before he gets to the house. And their conversation is recorded for us in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." So think about that conversation. The way it starts off, Martha is actually chiding Jesus a little bit. She knows him as a miracle worker. She knows from experience that he could touch Lazarus and heal him so that he wouldn't die. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." But Martha hasn't yet understood that Jesus is in fact God in human flesh. She hasn't comprehended the implications of that. She hasn't taken into her own system of thinking, her own worldview, into the very heart of her, that Jesus has the power of life and death. She's in for a glorious, eye-opening, faith-expanding surprise in the next hours. Now, Martha has a belief, as expressed in this, that many people hold today, that there will be some kind of life beyond this life, She refers to a resurrection at the last day. And many people say, yeah, there's something beyond this life. But basically, all you can do is hope that you'll be part of that. It's far down the road. It's pretty hazy. So live the best you can, and maybe that will be enough. Well, Jesus responds to Martha with an incredible insight into who's standing there talking to her. And these are words that she will remember and, of course, get recorded in Scripture. And she'll reflect back on this in days to come. Jesus' words, I am the resurrection and the life. In other words, the resurrection is not some nebulous concept. It's wrapped up in a person. It's wrapped up in Jesus himself. And he went on in that conversation with words that must have been difficult for Martha. And we ponder them strongly too. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. See, there really is a level of life beyond this outward physical life that encapsulates us and we see and greet each other in this physical life. But there is our spirit. I guess we would say the real you, deep inside, is a part that will never die. Our spiritual life, that inner life, eternal life, comes by believing in Jesus Christ. This is what Meg based her life on. It's what she entered into the process of dying on, knowing that she can share eternity with Christ and her loved ones who trust Christ for eternity as well. Those words that were read of Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and receive you to myself. That's what Meg has experienced. That's what was at the very heart and core of her faith. One of the family stories that carried this faith base forward, I believe it was on Meg's mother's tombstone, was her favorite saying, I'll meet you at the gate. Is that right? Did I get that right? So on Grandma's tombstone, Lisa's grandma's, Nick's grandma, I'll meet you at the gate. And meaning the gate of heaven, of course. And this has been passed on in the family, taught over and over, and it's one of those sayings that encapsulates much more than what the words themselves say. And so in turn, young Matthew, Meg's grandson, asked his mom to tell Grandma, you know to meet me at the gate. Beautiful. So Jesus, in talking with Martha, became quite direct with her. He put it to her face to face and said, do you believe this? And what a great statement of faith Martha gave in reply. And I can imagine Meg saying it in unison with Martha. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Well, these are profound truths and are absorbed with time and reflection. Lazarus' family is grieving while this conversation is going on. And so Jesus goes on and Mary comes out to speak to him next. She's weeping for her brother. And Jesus, even though he knows what's down the road, what's to happen, enters into the grief, shares that grief, and weeps with Mary. So the group went from there together to the tomb. It's a cave tomb with a stone over the entrance. And Jesus tells them to take the stone away. Martha, fastidious person that she is, reacts, Lord, it's 4 days. There'll be a bad odor. This was an unnecessary step to her. This was not the usual. Didn't seem right. But Jesus is going to take them to a new level in their knowledge of him. Martha, you're going to see the glory of God. Your faith is about to be deepened and expanded because of the spiritual truth about to be unveiled. Here's the account from John chapter 11. So they took the stone away. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you are always near me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands, feet wrapped in strips of linen and a cloth around his face, Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." So that we can believe. That's why Jesus did this. That was in his very prayer to his own Father in heaven. So that we might believe. So that we might believe the truth of eternity. The truth of life beyond death. Jesus was giving an object lesson, a demonstration in this physical life of resurrection. And he raised Lazarus to life to demonstrate that he has the power to give us eternal spiritual life. Lazarus would eventually die, as all of us will. What Jesus showed us in this is that he has the power to give eternal life through belief in him. When we believe in him, we follow his teaching, we confess our sins to him, we learn to live his way of life. As we've heard, Meg loved gardening, loved seeing new life spring from seeds each year, seeing at that level the truth that new life comes through the process of dying. The seed dies to allow the new shoots that develop into flowers. That was the word picture that Jesus used to show that death isn't the end. It's the process to a new and greater life. We mourn the loss of Meg Saville. Great loss to her husband, her son, daughter, their spouses, their children. But she's enjoying, as the song so eloquently said, that new life that can only come when the seed dies to bring new life. Meg gave herself to spreading these truths, good news truths. She lived them. She supported their spread so others could know peace with God as she did. Know the assurance that a home in heaven is prepared for them. You'll be reminded of this if in the future you visit the cemetery where Meg will be laid to rest. John and Meg have chosen to have on their tombstone these words: "Smile if you love Jesus. We'll see you later." That's good news. That's the rock of faith. May God touch you today, Meg's family. May you be able to respond as Martha did: "Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God." Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, that he lived among us, that there were thousands and thousands of witnesses of his ministry, that there were literally hundreds that met him in his resurrection. And thank you that he's the ascended, risen, reigning Lord today, and that he invites us to himself. That he himself is the way, and that we can live in this life knowing the assurance that there is nothing that can separate us from his love. And so, Father, our longing is that everyone will open their hearts to the Lord Jesus, will be able to say with Martha, "I believe that you are the Christ," and that we live out that belief. And Lord, we pray that these truths will give strength to the family. Thank you, Lord, that as they walk in the days ahead, the memory of wife and mother and grandmother will be a strength, will be a guide to them. Because Meg lived her life strongly, straightforwardly, and her family will know what her direction would have been. And so, Lord, we thank you again that we are reassured, we're encouraged, we're guided by this truth. And we pray, Lord, that as this family says a strong farewell to this anchor person in their family, that, Lord, you will strengthen, encourage, and direct. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You heard reference to the church in Grenada that has a important part of its family history. Memorial donations are encouraged towards that building project that needs to go ahead. You can make arrangements through the funeral home or through the church or directly with the family. Unfortunately, and we feel very sad about this, we're not able to give tax-deductible receipts for this particular project. Following this service, there's going to be a reception immediately afterwards in the lower auditorium. You're all invited. You're welcome. There's abundant refreshments there, And this will just be a very valuable time as you visit with the family and give your support and encouragement with them. Committal service will be after that reception time. It's going to be at the Elgin Mills Cemetery, and all that would wish to or that are available are invited to come there for that committal service. It'll be probably leaving here 1:15, something like that. The cemetery is at Elgin Mills and Leslie at that intersection. That helps you locate it. In a moment, I'm going to pray a grace for the meal, that the refreshments that are provided for you, and then I'll give the benediction, and our service will conclude here. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you that your presence brings about fellowship between one another. And Lord, we look forward to this time where we can give support and encouragement and visit with one another. So we pray, Lord, that you will bless the refreshments. Thank you for them. And we pray that you will bless those that have worked to prepare it for us. Grant that your blessing will bring about nourishment for our bodies to your glory. Will you stand with me for the benediction and then stay standing for the recessional, please? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. Please remain standing.